You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. And we're actually going to dual purpose this. We're going to use it not only as a podcast, but also as a webinar. So if you came to via a webinar, or if you're just listening on the Best Practices Show, I want you to go to actdental.com/verbal, V-E-R-B-A-L, because I'll send you all of these series. So this is actually the fourth. Jenny, is this the fourth webinar?
Fourth. This series? Is the fourth one, I believe.
Gosh, like you're about ready to kill me.
We could have 400, though, is the cool thing.
We totally could. we totally could. So this is the fourth series. Now, I'll tell you why we're doing this, because it's probably the highest registration we've ever had for a webinar. People are telling us everywhere, like, we need help with verbal skills or what's working, and whether it be cancellations, whether it be just communicating with patients about insurance and things like that. And today we're going to be talking about a very important one, which is the 8 outgoing phone calls. Now, Jenny, I want you to talk about this, because we've been talking about verbal skills in general. We've been talking about incoming phone calls, but there's also a system that you have to put in play, and it's the outgoing phone calls. So why are outgoing phone calls important in a dental office?
Yeah, one of the most important things that I talk to my teams about with instituting these systems for outgoing phone calls is we don't want to be a reactive team. We want to be a proactive team. So we always want to be proactive in how we're reaching out to patients, the things we're reaching out to them about. It allows us to eliminate E minus R. It allows us to build value, and it allows us to control our days. Yeah. So that's really the why behind the importance of these 8 outgoing calls, or a big why behind them.
Absolutely. I think that's perfect the way you said it, but I'd also love for you and team members, if you're listening to this, like, let's just get our brains around. We're not just going to sit back and let the world come to us. There's this, let's hope that a lot of them from the chair and why we've communicated and show up for their originally attended appointments. That's the cat's meow in dentistry, but there's always going to be a significant portion where you're going to have to reach out and, for the lack of a better word, maybe babysit or help these patients, you know, remember their appointments. And if you can do that, you're adding a significant component to your practice, because you guys know this, the schedule is one of the secrets to making a great practice work. And so we're going to help you with that, because and verbal skills matter. So Jenny, say what you've been saying all along about language, because I now borrow exactly what you said.
Language matters.
Words
what we
matter,
say
yeah.
matters. Words matter. What we say matters. How we say it matters. I will say it over and over again. In every one of these that we film, I will continue to say that. Words matter. Language matters. It has an impact.
Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And I am going to share my screen. So again, verbal is where I want you to go and look and find them. But let's start with the first one. The first outgoing phone call you want to make are your recall phone calls in which patients are due for hygiene, but they're not yet scheduled. Now, before we get into this, because Jenny, you do these calls and you've been with your father who had an amazing practice and now he's getting ready to transition to another chapter of his life and get out of clinical practice. But you're going to talk about the importance of this. But, you know, this is really, really important. Before you actually ask a team member, or if you're a team member, you're already in this, one of the things you want to be cognizant about when we talk about data is unscheduled active patients. Now, let me explain. That is a huge metric for your practice because you're going to pull that report. I tell everybody, you're going to pull it. And the first thing you're going to experience is chest pain because you're going to go, holy moly, like, look how many patients are actually active patients, but they're not scheduled. And so instead of building Facebook ads or billboards or doing fancy marketing, you're going to see in some cases, a lot of these practices have 652 unscheduled active patients. These are real patients, but we don't have them tethered to the practice. So one of the tools we're going to encourage you to do is use that report, but then also let's talk about getting them back for the recall or recare appointment. I like recare better than recall. Recall sounds kind of like a, yeah.
Yeah. I want to recall you into my
recall,
practice.
It sounds like an you know, automobile recall. Like, okay. So tell us about this outgoing phone call. What do we want to know about how this works and why?
And this one is especially, you know, that concept about being, being proactive rather than reactive is really applicable here. And again, just building off what you said, people think they have to put so much energy into getting new patients into the practice.
Right.
You do. And let's put some energy into keeping the patients that we already have. So this needs to be something that is systematized, that happens consistently. Don't tell me my schedule is full, so I don't need to make these calls.
Right.
Because I'll tell you what, if you don't make them, eventually your schedule is not going to be as full. So this recare, recall, we're going to reach out to our patients, and we're going to invite them to get back on the books. An important note that I want to make at the beginning here, when you're making outgoing phone calls, you have to be aware of HIPAA compliance.
Yeah.
So if we are leaving a message, we've got to be careful about what we say. We can't leave any personal health information. We can't talk about specific treatment that a patient is going to be needing. So we want to just lean into the relational component of these.
Yeah. So even before we went live with this, you know, Jenny had to help me clean up my slides a little bit because I lean heavily on the relational side of things. And she's like, okay, listen, there's a moving target. That's why I want to keep encouraging you to show up for the podcast. We're going to bring you relevant, real stuff that's happening in the trenches. And I think this is an important component. If you have a team member that's working at the front and they've been doing this for 20 years, we got to remind them there's some standards that have to be held high. And HIPAA is one of those things where I don't want you to dance like, be scared about it, but we do have to follow just what the requirements are and stay in the lanes on that, right? So how does a recall appointment best work? If I'm a team member and I'm making the call, walk me through how the call works.
I like to tell teams to just kiss this one. So keep it simple, stupid, right? Doc and I were thinking about you. Give us a call, right? Mary, Dr. Poulos and I were chatting. We were thinking about you today. He asked me to give you a call. Give me a call back.
Right.
A key thing there is that it's not just me, Jenny, team member, saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. It's doctor and I saying, hey, we were thinking about you. That little extra layer is gonna get you some more return calls.
Yeah.
That's a big point.
I love what you, now, if you guys listen to what she said specifically, it speaks to a relationship too. Like, we're just thinking of you. 90% of all outgoing recare calls or hygiene reminder calls are like, hi, this is Lucy calling from Dr. Poulos' office just to remind you of your appointment on Tuesday, December 1st at 7 a.m. Please call us back if you have any questions, blah, blah. And you know how that goes, delete. But if you're thinking about me, hey, just, you know, it just sets the tone. Remember, what you do screams either you care or you don't care. So you want to move away from the transactional aspect and just lean a bit stronger or more confidently in the relational aspect. Don't you think, Jenny?
Yep.
Awesome. Any other thing to note about recall or recare phone calls?
No, I mean, again, like stay on top of them. Mm-hmm. Set aside time to get them done. We're just letting patients know we're thinking about you. Give us a call back. And you'll be able to get them on the schedule.
Absolutely. Now, outgoing call number two is your purging call. Mm-hmm. These are patients that you haven't seen in the last 2 years. So what do we want to know about the why behind this call, Jenny?
Two things. Again, we taught, you know, it's again applicable to that keeping patients that I've already had. If I haven't seen you in 2 years, I did see at some point, I've established some sort of relationship with you already. Let's try to recall you back to the practice. Also, I want my data to be clean. Mm-hmm. I want the data in my software to be clean. I want to know how many patients I really have. So you've got a lot of patients sitting in there that have moved or that are now seeking care elsewhere. I want my software to accurately reflect the status of my patients. So this call is going to help you get there. It's sort of a secondary piece. I'm going to manage this much in the same way as I would that recare call. Again, if I'm leaving a message, Mrs. Smith, this is Jenny. Dr. Poulos and I were just thinking about you. Haven't heard from you in a while. I'd love the chance to chat. Give me a call.
Yeah.
I want to get them on the phone. I want the opportunity to invite them back into the practice. So I'm really going to lean heavy into, hey, thinking about you, haven't seen you, hope everything's all right. Want to perhaps update my records with your status. If you could give me a call back, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is really important to keep clean software all over. And depending on who you listen to, you're going to displace a certain number of these people every couple of years. Some people say it's like 17%. They move away, they die. There are things that just happen in a dental practice, and you'll learn this as you start going through this list. Another metric that we love as coaches, and again, we're practice coaches. So looking at these metrics, the thing you learn about metrics is data doesn't lie. So you're going to be looking at recapturing metrics, especially if you use Dental Intel, and you're going to see people that have fallen out of the 18-month window. Now, again, here's another thing that you have to be cognizant of. People in the dental industry, which is amazing, they all have different standards for what they consider an active patient. And Jenny, you know, our window for that is usually 18 months for mm-hmm. an active patient. Can you explain why 18 months and not necessarily 2 years? And then why a purging call at 2 years in time yeah. or maybe even sooner?
So, I mean, the reality is the farther and farther and farther a patient goes away from being in your chair, the harder it is to get them back on the schedule and the harder it is to get them to schedule treatment. So within that sort of 18-month window, we're able to still sort of be maintaining relationship. A lot of things maybe haven't changed with them, but once we sort of get past that time frame, there's likely been a lot of changes. They've fallen completely sort of out of our wheelhouse. So it's going to shift sort of the way we communicate and focus our communication with them because they're not engaged with us anymore. We're now having to really, in a different way, re-engage them.
For sure. For sure. And then again, creating a system for this, looking at data on a regular basis. You know, what a wonderful way to keep your practice full and keeping your data clean with that aspect. Now, that's outgoing call number two. Let's talk about outgoing call number three, which is outstanding treatment. And I think we should probably start with this because you're going to have a lot of conversations with patients. You're going to present treatment and they're going to go, yeah, I need to think about this. And then, you know, they're not tethered to the practice. So as you can see, these kind of fall in line. We always want, here's another big thing if you're listening is like, a big part of your practice is making sure there is some type of an appointment. You might have been through Pankey, Dawson, Coyce, Spear, Seattle Study Club, and you have become very excited about the future of dentistry and comprehensive dentistry, which means in some cases you've transitioned heavily into the comprehensive exam and you believe, and that's great, but oftentimes patients come into a practice and they see the doctor first and only the doctor first, and they're not tethered with, I don't have a better word than tethered, but like they don't have a hygiene appointment. So then you present treatment because the patient doesn't need just $100 worth of treatment. They need $12,000 worth of treatment. And now we're going to be calling them, badgering them about the outstanding treatment. So you've got to be a little bit emotionally aware that this isn't, you know, this is just one of those things. You just got to understand the dynamics of it. And so when you're making an outstanding treatment call, Jenny, any coaching you have on that one?
Yeah. And we're going to talk sort of about two follow-up outstanding treatment calls. This one is really the patient has had treatment presented. We've had sort of initial follow-up call, which we're going to talk about in a second. And now they're a little ways down the road. We've lost a little bit of that connection with them. So again, I want you to lean really, really heavily into that. Hey, doctor and I were reviewing your chart. We're thinking about you. Give us a call back. If you get them on the phone, get that RFR out there right away. That, you know, that reason for return. What's going on? The example that we have on here, you know, about, you know, we've got some tooth decay. We don't want that to become any worse. When we get them on the phone, we want to know what's going on with that patient, because again, what are they hearing there? They're hearing that you value me, that you've listened to me, that you know what's going on with me. So be prepared with all of the information about this patient when you call them. Yeah. Don't just wing it and call. Know what you're calling about. Read the notes so you can arm yourself with the information to show them you can trust me, I care about you, I know you, and you'll get them back on the schedule.
Yeah. And again, if you guys have ever been to any event that we do, and I'm going to encourage you to come to everything, you're going to see there's common themes or cornerstone systems. And I think it might be a good, you know, point to just illustrate what an RFR is, a reason for return. It's two simple sentences that you're going to put in the clinical notes that just show that we know who this patient is and what they're coming back for. One of them might be a clinical reason, and another thing might be something about them personally. But here's what and you put them in the clinical, not the appointments notes, so that when you drag them all, it's just that if I'm a team member and I'm calling to make that outstanding treatment call, I know who they are. I know what they're coming back for. I might not even know clinically what that is because I work at the front. And so I kind of know what it is, but I can also speak to them personally. You know, I know that they have an only daughter that's going to be married next year, and I can help them understand why it's going to be important for them to come in instead of just having these vague thoughts. So again, I think the important piece is, Jenny, just like we've been talking, like make it more about the relationship, but then also knowing what to say. If you get them on the phone, you can speak specifically to it. But again, if you get their message machine or their mobile message, don't leave anything super specific about their, am I correct in saying this, Jenny? At the very least, let's say you don't get them, you're going to want to prompt some type of a callback in some way, somehow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to prompt the callback. And you'll notice a very consistent theme here. All of these, I'm going to say doctor and I, or, you know, your provider. If it's something hygiene, provider and I, doctor and I, we're talking about you. We're thinking about you. Give us a call back. I can't say anything specific to the treatment. So what I want to convey is I care about you. Please give me a call.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. So let's go to outgoing call number four, which is going to be consult follow-ups. So again, you know, you've presented treatment to these patients. Now you're trying to contact them about outstanding treatment in some respect. And now we're going to be following up them with them after the consult. What would you say about the consult follow-ups and what's specific for us to know about that?
Yeah. So this is one that you're going to be setting up with the patient when they're standing in front of you. Important thing here is that I don't want an E minus R. So, you know, patients had treatment presented, they're uncertain, they're not ready to move forward. I'm going to set a follow-up call with them when they're there. you know, Mrs. Jones, I understand. We've got some more questions. We've got to chat with our significant other. We have to check on some finances, whatever it might be. I hear you. I understand. Let's set up a call so we can follow up and review any questions that you might have. Does next week, Monday or Tuesday, work better for you? Does AM or PM work better for you? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to set that time. They're going to expect that I'm going to call, and I'm going to follow through with that expectation. The worst thing that you can do here is tell a patient, I'm going to follow up with you next week and then not do it. What a huge T minus R is that?
Yeah. You got to put that in the schedule. Now, this is why Jenny and I are a great team, because now we should probably explain E minus R too. Just come hang out with us and you'll see. So we use a term around here and we use it all day long. I use it 10, 11, 12 times a day myself. It's E minus R equals C, which is expectations minus reality equals conflict. The only time you ever get in conflict in your entire life is when expectations and reality don't meet. So this particular system's crazy important because you don't want any surprises. Dr. Barrett Straub, who's a dentist in our community and a great ACT dental team member, one of his core values is no surprises with patients. And I freaking love that because he's learned, like, the one thing I don't like and the one thing that patients don't like are no surprises. So when we have had this moment with the patient, we're going to minimize the E minus R equals C. Mm-hmm. Again, E minus R equals C. And just make sure that we're on the same page. And then, Jenny, the other thing I'm going to add, and I just don't have a better word, so I'm just going to use it today, is tethering. So you can't let patients like go into the universe and go, hey, okay, go think about it. Because you as a front desk team member, you're on to the next thing. There's 30 more things flying at you and it never stops. So you want to make sure that there's an action in which they're tethered to the practice in some way, somehow, right?
Yeah. The treatment follow-up, the consult follow-up, this is such an important system to have in your office. Whether you're using something like Dental Intel to automate follow-ups, you're using a phantom column, memos, notes in your system, make sure that you are consistently executing on this one. Because again, the farther the patient gets away from that presentation of treatment, the harder it's going to be to get them on the schedule. And the more time that passes from when they hear from you, it's harder to bring them back in. So yep. I don't want you to say, you've got some questions. Okay, I'm going to follow up with you in a month. I'm going to follow up with you next week. And then I'm going to follow up with you a week later. We're not going to let this go months and months and months out. We want to stay in front of them and let them know this is important. This is an important thing. Your health is important. We are advocates for your health. So we are following up because we want to advocate for the right decision for your health.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So let's talk about outgoing call number 5, which are care calls. These are, you know, and care calls, everybody, this one actually, it upsets me. I don't know if it upsets me. I don't get often upset. I'm just, you know, I'm fascinated. We turn frustration into fascination here. But like, we've taught this forever. Everybody's taught this forever. Syringe or handpiece. If you pick up a syringe or handpiece with a patient, you got to make a phone call because again, what you do screams you care or don't care. And then I ask young dentists to do this and they go, I can't do that. And I'm like, what do you, and they're like, well, I don't have time. I'm like, why don't you call them? Well, they might pick up. I'm like, well, dude, you want to grow a practice, but at the same token, they're spending so much time on Facebook ads and billboards and all these other things. I'm like, your practice is relational. So the aftercare call. So, you know, you've listened to these, like, your dad and brother are amazing, you know, human beings.
They're amped at this one.
Yeah. So
this
what
is near and dear to my heart.
Tell me why. Tell us why.
Yeah. So the periodontal practice that I work in, it's a family practice. And I carpooled with my dad to and from work for 10 years. And I listened to these care calls every day on our way home. So any patient that he did a procedure on that day, he would give him a call. And it was very simple, right? Sally, Dr. Poulos, you did beautifully today. It went so well. Do you have any questions? You're going to do great. I'll see you in a week. Very, very simple. I think over 10 years, there was probably 10 phone calls that went over 1 minute. And they always ended with a, Dr. Poulos, thank you so much for calling. And with this very genuine, I mean, you could hear it in their voices, like, oh my gosh, thank you. That, like, I appreciate it so much. And his patients loved him.
Yeah.
Because he loved them.
Now, I love your dad, but I have never been a patient in his practice. And I'm thinking, you know what? Oh, so, you know, it's just true. You don't get, those calls mean so much. A lot of them are going to go to their voicemail. And that's okay too. Again, you just want to get into a habit or a cadence of letting the world, especially the ones that you serve, let them know I care. I just care about you, just thinking about you, you know, all that kind of stuff in an aftercare call. Anything you'd add more specifically about the details of it other than just, you know, again,
no,
you know,
this is a care call. You're only saying I care about you. This doesn't have to be referencing the treatment specifically. It's just a, hey, how you doing? Went well today.
Yeah.
And I'll say my brother, you know, younger, new age, he does these oftentimes via text.
Yeah.
Right. And that's okay. For younger patients, he sends them a text message because that's the cadence of communication that a lot of people have. Some of our older patients, he'll still give them a call. But one way or another, you need to be doing this.
Yeah. He's like, he texts me too. He should call me. So like, I love it. But however you do it or however you communicate, again, the same rules apply. Like you don't want to leave anything specific on their message machine for the HIPAA reasons. But if you do get them on the phone, it's okay to talk a little bit more specifically about their treatment. But I would probably go with what Jenny said more than anything. Just it's a care call. It's not a dental treatment call, like it's not a post-op call. It's a care call.
Exactly. It's not a post-op call, and differentiate those. I'm not kidding you when I say that in 10 years, probably 10 calls went over 1 minute. Yeah. They were like 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very quick. Yeah.
Here's what I want for you guys. If you're listening, I want people to listen to your message or hang up with you and go, oh, I love her or I love him. I love my dentist. There's nothing better than that because it's what you're trying to do for your practice anyway. It's the thing that gives you the most satisfaction in a lifelong journey in dentistry. So just, you know, put a discipline in place that makes that happen. Now, a couple of things we want to point out about care calls is I'll say it again and again and again. You know, everything in your business, this isn't just a phone call part of it, but what you do, the systems you build, the checklists, the daily behavioral patterns that your business establishes, they scream one of two things. I either care or I don't care. So that's a great thing to ask yourself in a team meeting. When you're building systems with your team, just go, okay, listen, I get it. Everyone's stressed. All right, let's build something that screams we care. And an aftercare call absolutely screams we care. And then I like the idea of the doctor always doing them unless. Do you have an unless to finish that sentence?
My unless would really be unless you truly absolutely cannot, as in I am going to get on an airplane and I am going to be gone.
There you go.
Or something that is actually physically restricting you from being able to make that call. In which case it's better to have a team member do it than no one.
Yeah.
I would maybe have, you know, the assistant do that call, someone that was in there with them clinically that day.
Right.
Just so if they do have a question, that whomever was chairside with them is able to speak to it.
Yeah, let me just have some fun with you. Yeah, but I'm too busy, Jenny. I'm too busy as a dentist. Like I don't have time to make these calls. What would you say to me?
Are you too busy to build your practice?
Ooh, yeah.
Are you too busy to be productive and profitable?
Yeah. And let's take a look at what busy means to you. You're too busy checking out Facebook. Okay. Now I should get off of that for a little bit, but you know, people come up with the strangest things. Say, I don't have time for that, you know? And again, it goes back to where you spend your time is probably what you value. And so make sure that you're just constantly calibrating what you value in your time and you'll see things will get better. The third thing I want to add is that patients often report, if you look at any of the research out there, like you see any of the polls or the surveys of what patients say about dentists, all they don't say the crown was perfect. They don't say the aesthetics were awesome. Heck, just read a bunch of Google reviews. But all the research points back to two things. I have a dentist. He actually knows my name. That's so cool. And he called me today, or she called me today. That's one thing. And I would tell you, they're good people, which screams to the second piece of research, which is I care. So again, just, you know, my coaching to you, and you'll see this in great detail if you come to any of our stuff, but like coaching is just, it's your self-talk when you get on the phone. Just say, listen, I am going to get on this phone. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know, but I'm going to let the patient know two things. I'm thinking about you. And I care. And that's it. And I'm going to end with a nice pleasantry. And I want them to feel good about, you know, coming to our practice. So that's it.
Yeah. We used to say people will forget what you say and did, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go to outgoing call number 6, which you call the save the date call. So again, you guys, this is the secret to life. You just surround yourself with people that are smarter like you than you, than not like you, but better than you. Like Jenny's like, so she's looking up, she's like, this is so outdated. I call it the save. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's brilliant. So tell us why you call it the save the date call.
Yeah.
What kind of a call is it?
So this is a reminder call, save the date. So if you've listened to any of the previous webinars, we talked about the reminder, not the confirmation call. And again, I am telling all patients that their appointment is confirmed when scheduled. So I don't need to be reconfirming that. I'm just peppering little reminders out there. So the save the date call is, I want to make sure if you didn't get this on your calendar, it's now on your calendar, right? I want to make sure that it's back in front of you. So you see it, you know, it's there. So the save the date call is a reminder. It's 2 weeks out. So if by chance they do need to change the appointment, I'm giving my team ample time to deal with that opening. So the save the date is very simply, hey, looking forward to seeing you on July 23rd. If you have any questions, give us a call. I don't need to invite a call back. Again, inviting a call back can sometimes be making the patient feel that like, oh, it's not confirmed. I have to call back to confirm it.
Right.
It's just a reminder that I've got time reserved specifically for you and can't wait to see you. If I get you on the phone call, I might again go into that RFR to build a little bit more value as to what I'm going to be seeing you for, reminding them about the importance of this. So again, be armed with the specific information, but if I'm leaving a message, it's very simply, hi, looking forward to seeing you at that visit.
Yeah. Another key component to this is, well, first of all, doing the call. And then second of all, calling far enough in advance. 99.99999% of dentists or team members or dental offices call the day before or 2 days before, which gives you no options. And so what you do is you call these people, you can't get them on the phone, and you're like, okay, I gotta do something because his head's gonna spin around and green puke's gonna come out if he sees empty chairs. And so you go to the panic mode, and so you grab all this mud from the bottom of the river, which are all these patients that have canceled 11 and 15 times and they owe you $2,200, and you start slapping mud into the schedule, you know, 24 hours in advance. And that's just not a good plan. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna reach out to these people. I actually like the window of 2 weeks. Now, not everybody does. Some people like 1 week. But if I'm going to call you 2 weeks in advance, I'm going to have a save the date call. And it might sound something like this. Hey, you know, Laura, this is Emily from Dr. Robin's office. Just calling about your appointment on July 23rd at 8 a.m. And looking forward to seeing you. If you have any questions, why don't you call me? Or if I can get you on the phone. And here's what's going to happen a few times. You're going to get somebody on the phone and they're going to go, oh, I totally forgot. I booked that appointment and school is out that day. And you know, she's got 3 little kids, which I know intuitively 50% of those people are not going to make that appointment. Now, think about this. You are calling them 2 weeks prior to the appointment. Here's the rule. If you feel any hesitation, even the slightest one, you're going to say something like this. That sounds like it could be a challenge. And you're going to pull the patient forward. Now I have a 2-week window to play with and take, we call them green bricks, yellow bricks, and red bricks. It's, you know, just those are key appointments. I'm going to take green bricks from 2 weeks out and I'm going to move them up instead of finding the mud on the bottom of the river. And now it doesn't make these people bad. Please hear that. They're just people that have demonstrated they don't value what you do. So I call them a red brick. They're probably what we would consider damaging dollars, dollars you'd rather not collect in your practice. They're sweet people, but they don't value your time. I want you, if you're a dentist and a team member, to build an amazing practice of green bricks over and over again, and it requires better thinking. Your team member's calling 2 weeks in advance, just getting somebody on the phone, getting a sense of whether or not they're committed to the appointment. And now I've got a 2 week window where I can say, that sounds like that might be a challenge. How about this? I have a schedule change next Tuesday. See, I'm going to pull that right up into this spot. Therefore, stacking the doctor's schedule with the right person at the right time for the right procedure. When you can work together with these systems or with a great coach like Jenny, like you can start to build a better life instantly. You know, some of you are wondering, like, my schedule sucks. This is not fun. Well, get together with your team, put a system in place, get some common dialogue, and you can make things better really fast, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh yeah. One of the most common things that I hear from every team member on every team that I've ever worked with is I don't have time.
Right.
I don't have time. This call gives you the gift of time.
Right.
And it allows you to not get into that panic mode. It allows you to have options to pull people up forward, like you said, and then you don't have to scramble. Yeah. So people tell me, oh, like it's an extra call, I don't have time. Like, no, this gifts you time.
Yeah.
Because I'm now allowing myself some space to put the right person in the right appointment time.
Yeah. I want you to think about what Jenny just said. I don't have any time. No, we're constructing time positively a week from now or 2 weeks from now. So this thing that you tell yourself, oh, I don't have time. No, you're creating time. You're creating better time, more productive time. I guarantee you, you're going to find more joy in those appointments and production will go up as a byproduct, but it's crazy important. So I know I could talk about this one for seven days, but I know we can't. Let's go to call number seven. Seven is the reminder call. Now, it's a little bit different than the save the date call. Tell us about the reminder call. What do we need to know about a reminder call?
Yeah. So reminder call, 24 to 48 hours prior to the appointment. And again, I am not confirming you. I am just reminding you that I have time confirmed for you. This is a courtesy call is really what it is. You will have some people that are going to try to move their appointment. And this is an opportunity for you to test some of those skills that we talked about in the first couple of webinars when people want to change or cancel their appointment. But again, we are just reminding you that we have confirmed time for you. We have reserved time for you. And it's very simply that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And then lastly, let's jump into number eight, which I love this one. And it's a huge missed opportunity in dentistry. It's called the post specialist follow-up call. It's a lot of words. Okay. But what you're going to do is you're going to schedule a time in which you're going to follow up. Now think about this. If you're a GP, Jenny, walk us through this. So, and I'm going to refer, let's say I'm a GP in the Denver area, and I'm going to refer a patient over to Nick, who's your brother, who's an amazing periodontist. I'm going to tell the patient, I'm going to send you over to Dr. Poulos. He is amazing. And I'm going to find out when that appointment is. And I'm going to put it in the phantom column, or one of my team members is going to put it in the phantom column to remind me to call the patient afterwards. It's, again, 60-second phone call. Remember, syringe or handpiece, and in this case, might be more over at Dr. Poulos' office. And I'm going to say, hey, just thinking about you. This is Dr. Kirk. I am just thinking about you. I know you went to see Dr. Poulos today. He is awesome. And I'm just thinking about you. Anything you'd add to that, Jenny? Just the perspective on it?
You know, when we refer someone out to a specialist, we're broadening our care team. And that's really what it is, right? When you're a GP, you and the patient are a team together. And you have to work well as a team to get the best care for them. That team approach builds when I bring in a specialist. So it's just letting your patient know we are a team together. I know what's going on there. They know what's going on here. Together, we both care for you. We are working to do what is best for you. We value you. It gives them confidence in you, confidence in the referral. It's really, this is a kind of a differentiator call that if you can make it is a really, it's on par with the care call for me. I think it's one of those things that not a lot of people lean into, but it just lets the patient know like, man, they've got me, right?
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. I love that. So, and again, you know, what I'm going to encourage you to do is just share this information with your team. Now, we have a special place in our heart for dental team members because a lot of dentists do a lot of education, but that isn't always true for the rest of their team. They don't share things. They don't have time to share. This is a great series just to share with your team and talk about it, create a few systems. Our hope, our goal for the rest of our careers at ACT Dental is we're going to keep bringing you valuable stuff. Tell your friends, keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see. We're going to bury you with valuable, valuable stuff so that you and your team have a dialogue. You guys can go back. Heck, don't do all eight of these. Do one of them and your life is going to get better, or improve two of them, or heck, do three of them. And then I guarantee I'll see you in a couple months. You go, hey, that stuff works. And I'll go, yes, it does. So
what?
Yeah. So make sure you check out the, now we put this on a landing page. It's actdental.com/verbal, where you can get the entire series. You can download it. You can have your team members download it. If you want more specific help, you want to see it all happen in action, I encourage you to come to our events, which we're opening up this year, and you are going to absolutely love that. And if you're a dentist and you're struggling, you're like, man, I just want to make this year the best. You can get involved with our inner circle, which you're going to be working with other doctors and ourselves. And again, I'm going to bury you with the best information. And also they're going to bury you with great information. And bury is not a great word, but like surround you in a very supportive group. Being an entrepreneur is lonely. Being a dentist is extra lonely. Don't do that, because when you're alone, you do self-talk, and it's not good self-talk. It's negative self. Get around people that are talking well. And if you want to do the whole thing for the serious students, you know, reach out to us at actdental.com. People that really want to do that, those are only for the serious people. We have our pro coaching program, which we, somebody like Jenny just comes in, just helps you clean it all up. And the thing that I'll say is we can say things to your team you can't say in a good way. So you're getting a sense of this, all the education. If you come to see anything that I do or we do, we're just here to help you create a better practice and a better life. So Jenny, thank you so much. Heck, I learned a ton today. This is awesome.
Well, hey, we always learn from each other.
We do.
It's the best part about it.
We do. So stick around. We say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Again, check out actdental.com/verbal. And until we see you next time, keep watching. Best.
Have a great practice. Day, everybody.
See you guys. Bye-bye. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.